Man, if you're glad to have somebody who stands in between, say amen. Amen. All right, let's try that again, this time like you mean it. If you're glad Jesus has saved your soul and forgiven your sins, say glory.
Glory.
All right, that's a little bit better. We go along. I know it's Monday morning. It's all right. It's all right. Praise the Lord. I've never heard that song before. And that was tremendous. That's Bible right there. That'll preach. We give the invitation and go home. What a blessing. And but it's good to be here this morning. We floated in this morning on USS Scare, and we got here and coming through Charlotte. There's two types of people, the quick and the dead. And so if you've ever been through Charlotte on I-85, you know exactly what I mean. But it is good to be back at Ambassador Baptist College this morning, and I'm so honored to stand in this pulpit where so many of my mentors and friends have stood, and those most of the time have been the same people, mentors and friends. And Brother Hanky, I'm not so sure. I actually came down to collect the rest of my demerits that I gathered, and probably would not accounted for when I was here. But anyway, it is good to be with you this morning. Mark chapter number 4 today. Mark chapter number 4. I pray and trust. I ask God to let me to be a help to somebody today. All us preachers know, and some of you guys training as you preach, and you'll find this to be true. When you get in a situation like this, you have a tendency to look through your filing cabinet or your Evernote or wherever you store your sermons, and find the best sermon that you have. You get a situation and say, man, I'm preaching to preachers today. I'm going to find the most polished and everything. And man, the one you think is, I mean, it is the A-plus message. And you have a tendency to do that. I don't guess there's anything wrong with that. You want to do your best. But above that, I want to follow the Lord. I want to preach this morning what God wants us to preach. And Keith asked me coming up the road, are we preaching this morning? I said, I'm just trying to follow the Lord this morning. And God's put some thoughts on my heart and my mind. I shared with our church last night there in Salisbury. And I trust it'll be a help to you this morning. Mark chapter number 4, if you've not found it, would you just say, wait on me for just a second? Okay, everybody's found it. We're good. Mark chapter number 4. Would you stand with me, please? Mark chapter number 4, very familiar passage of Scripture in the Word of God. And I'm not here to try to preach anything new. A preacher years ago said, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. And so nothing this morning that you've never heard. But I pray that it'll be a help. If you're looking for something profound, you'll have to come back tomorrow. But just some simple truths from the Word of God, I pray and trust to help somebody. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. The Bible says, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, if you mark your Bible, if you take your pen or pencil and underline or circle the word us, let us pass. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Let us pass over to the other side. That's important. He didn't send them to the other side. He was taking them to the other side. He was going with them. They were going. He was going with them. I'm glad he goes with us. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning, desperate and depending for your help. Lord, I cannot preach this morning apart from the anointing power, the Holy Spirit of God. So, Father, please don't let me try. Would you help me as I preach? Help these as they listen this morning, that you would help us, encourage and challenge us today. Lord, it's been a busy weekend for many with a Rekindle conference and all the ministries that's taken place in our local churches this week. And so, Father, I pray for just a little while. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come up beside of us. And Lord, we know you dwell within us, but Lord, would just let us know that you're real to us this morning. Would you encourage us and challenge us? We'll thank you for it. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As we come to Mark chapter number 4, in the passage we just read, Jesus is now begin. He is in full stride in his earthly ministry. As you read the chapters leading up, Mark chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, before this passage of Scripture, Jesus is he's calling his disciples. He's selecting his disciples to follow him. And the multitudes are starting to grow. And his popularity, if you will, his fame is increasing. And people are being amazed at his teaching and his preaching and the miracles that he's doing. At this point, he had already healed Peter's mother-in-law. And he had healed a man with leprosy. It was an incurable disease. But Jesus cured him in a way that only Jesus, the Son of God, God himself could do. He had healed a paralyzed man, and one of my favorite parts, man, it seemed like he was always just giving it to the Pharisees. Every time he turned around, he's getting under their skin. There's some of us in the room that just kind of like that, you know, getting under people's skin. But he was, man, the Pharisees couldn't figure him out. They were starting to hate him because he rejected everything that they taught and brought to the people. Man, it seemed like he was always against that. And he had healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And just absolutely amazed everybody. And so people are starting to know who Jesus is. He's starting, I mean, they didn't have Facebook back in those days. They didn't have social media. And it's traveling word of mouth. Did you see what Jesus had did? The large crowds, they're growing. And man, I wonder what Jesus is going to do today. And I wonder what he's going to teach and preach on today. And man, I can't wait to hear what he has to say tomorrow. And there's just an excitement about it. And the disciples are following him. And they're coming from the different professions where they were. And they're setting all that aside to follow Jesus. And there's an excitement here. There's an anticipation about what he is doing and the great miracles that he is performing and how he's amazing. And people sit back in awe and in wonder at his teaching and preaching like no other had ever done. Everything is going great. Jesus spends the day teaching and healing and performing miracles. And then at that point, we come to verse number 35, and he says, let us pass over unto the other side. It's evening time. It's getting dark. The sun's going down. It's getting cool. And let us pass over to the other side. And the Bible says they sent away the multitude and took him even as he was in the ship. So the disciples are there with Jesus. Now, don't miss the human aspect of the disciples in this passage of Scripture. Jesus is teaching, preaching, and he gets to the evening and said, let us go to the other side. And the disciples said, man, that's awesome, let's go. And so they start pulling up the anchors, they start getting the boats ready to sail. I mean, they crank up the motors and they drop it back into water. They didn't do that. But they're getting ready to go to the other side. They're excited. Can you sense the anticipation? They're with Jesus. And man, this is good. This is awesome. Look at what Jesus is doing. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. And we know, because we know the story and we just read it, that they are about to be in one of the greatest storms that they'd ever seen in their life. And as they get into the boat and as they start toward the other side, it gets nighttime. Jesus goes to sleep in the back part of the ship. He's asleep, and suddenly the Bible says that a storm comes up like they've never seen before. You understand, many of the disciples were fishermen. They were no stranger to storms. They were no stranger to the waves and the winds being higher than normal. They were no stranger to the danger of the sea, of the lake, of the water. The Bible says that this storm comes up, and the Bible says that it beat into the ship so that it was now full. This storm arises, and it's so big, and it's so huge, and now they are fearing for their lives. How many times in our lives do we face storms? Much like the disciples faced that night, we face storms that come into our life, but it seems like it comes out of nowhere. And everything is going along just great. Everything is going good. Grades are good. The school bill is paying. I'm healthy and man, just enjoying life, having a good time and getting to preach and getting to win people to the Lord. And man, life is good. Life is great and life is wonderful. And man, isn't it a blessing serving Jesus? And it is, don't get me wrong. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, a storm comes into your life. And I can see the disciples, like we do many times, we face the storms, sometimes different magnitudes, different sizes, different areas of our life. Sometimes those storms are spiritual storms. Sometimes they're mental or emotional storms. Sometimes they're physical storms. Sometimes they're social storms. The storms come from all different areas sometimes. And I believe, like the disciples, so many times we look and say, God, why? Why this? And why now? Why have you allowed this storm to come into my life? God, everything was good. I'm serving you. I'm getting my education. I want to serve you with my life. And God, I've given everything I've got to you. God, why have you allowed this to come into my life? Everybody in this room has lived enough life to live through some of those storms. Many people in this room have lived and endured severe storms in life. And we look and say, God, why? Why have you allowed this? And I'm afraid so many times as we face the storm and we ask God why, so many times we come from the point of view, we asking God why, because we want Him to remove the storm from our life. We want Him to take away the storm. We want Him to remove the wind and the waves. And we want Him to move it out of our life because we want the sunshiny skies and we want the green grass and we want the calm waves. We want it where we can enjoy life and just keep coasting. But the fact of it is, many times these storms come in our life, and sometimes these storms are tremendous storms. We know from studying the Bible that there are many different types of storms. There's storms that God brings to get His glory in the situation. There are times that God allows storms to come into our life for our correction. And we get away from Him and He says, I've got to bring you back on track. You've got off track. I'm going to bring you back on track. God allows storms sometimes for our correction, as any loving father does. I believe this morning there are three things in this storm that God wants to remind us of. I believe they apply to every storm, whether it's for His glory, or whether it's just simply for His glory, our growth, or our correction. I believe these are true about every storm, and I believe they'll help us this morning. First of all, in the storm, I believe God wants us to pray. I told you, going to be simple this morning. God wants us to pray. Look, if you will, in verse number 38, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and saying to Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What are they doing? In the middle of the storm, they're going to talk to Jesus. I believe one of the greatest privileges we have of children of God, as children of God, is that we have direct access to the throne room of God. Hey, it's not always been that way. You do realize that in the Old Testament, only one man, one time a year, could go into the direct presence of God and make a sacrifice for the sin of the people. and realize, listen, in days of old, you could not go directly into the presence of God. But when Jesus came to this earth and He died on the cross and He hung on the cross and He said, "It is finished," and the earth shook and the veil in the temple was torn in half from top to bottom, it was God tearing apart the divider that separated men from the presence of God. And at the moment the veil was rent, God opened His arms, He opened His throne room, and you and I, as God's children, have the privilege of walking directly anytime, any place, any situation, and saying, "God, here I am. I just need to talk to You today." We have the opportunity to talk directly to God. Hey, I don't have to talk to God through any other man. I don't have to pay a fee to have somebody talk to God for me. I have the privilege of talking directly to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege. Let us come boldly into the throne room. Oh, listen, I believe the Bible says when you study the book of Acts and you see the early church beginning, you'll notice that nothing they ever did, they did without prayer. Oh, they sought God every day. The Bible says in Acts 1 and verse 12, one of the first things they did after Jesus ascended into heaven was they went back to the upper room and they were one accord in prayer and supplication. And the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 42, they continue steadfastly in fellowship, doctrine, breaking of bread, and in prayers. I believe that the greatest privilege, one of the greatest privileges we have as Christians, is we have direct access to the throne room of God. You know, one of the amazing things to me, one of the things that I cannot wrap my mind around, Dr. Childs, is the fact that the God of the universe would desire to communicate with me. I don't get that. I don't understand it. We're talking about the God who spoke the entire universe into existence in 6 days. He could have done it in 6 seconds if He'd wanted to. But the same God who sits on the throne and holds the universe in its place, knows the stars by their names, is the same God that this morning when I got up, I walked into my prayer closet, and I said, "Dear Lord," and God Almighty said, "I'm listening." What an amazing opportunity. What an amazing thing that God would desire that. And He would long for that fellowship with our children, His children. But I also believe that it's one of the most neglected privileges we have as well. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God wants to hear that request, but what a tragic mistake it is that we as God's people get to the point where we're casual about our prayer lives. We get lazy about our prayer lives. We neglect talking to Jesus. Here He is. He wants to hear from us. And as we drift along in our life, we get further and further from the fellowship of God. And you know when it normally happens? When everything is good. When the sea is calm. When the wind is still. When the bills are paid. When there are no tests to be taken this week. That's when we tend to drift away from speaking to our Heavenly Father. And as we live our lives, so many times we get to the point where we're living our lives independent of God. You see, when the storms come, that's when we run to Jesus. Look what happens. What was the Bible said? The Bible says in verse 38, and He's in the hinder part of the ship. They go and wake Him up. But when did they go wake Him up? What does the Bible say in verse number 37? So that it was full. Now, I'm not a sailor. I don't know a whole lot about boats, but I do know this. When there's more water in the boat than there is oxygen, she's going to the bottom. Hey, when the boat is in the water, it's a good thing. When the water's in the boat, it's a bad thing. All right? I mean, with me so far, all right? I'm simple, but even I can understand that concept. The storm comes up. Man, they're belling water. The waves are crashing in. And you understand, when it first starts, they're no stranger to storms. They've been in storms before. This is what they did for a living. And so they're trying to get the ship on course. They're trying to bail water. And all of a sudden they look around and they're no longer ankle deep in water. They're knee deep in water. Before they know it, it's top. The Bible says it was full, y'all. The fact that they're not sunk already is amazing. It is full. That equals going to the bottom. And as it's full, they're looking around and they're going, oh my goodness, they can't bail water out any quicker than it's coming in. And man, there's a bunch of them in this boat. It's not just one man. And there's so much water in the boat. And they look around and say, man, we're going to the bottom. Somebody says, better go wake up Jesus. That'd be a good idea, don't you think? Why did you wait until the boat was full? Why? Why did you wait until you're on the way to the bottom before you go wake up the master? And we think, man, guys, you got the master of the waves and the sea right there in the boat with you. What's taking you so long? Same thing takes us so long to go to him. We go to Jesus after we've talked to all of our friends in the dorm. We go to Jesus after we've called every pastor we know and got advice. And we talked to Jesus after we've done everything that we can possibly do. And we don't have the answer. And we don't understand. And we're at the end of our rope. Somebody says, well, we better talk to Jesus now. I believe that Jesus allows storms into our lives because he wants us to pray. He wants to draw us close to him. I believe that God wants us. He's saying, child of mine, would you just come a little bit closer? Would you just come spend some time with me? And when we face those storms, that's when we run to Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 3 and verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Psalm 18 verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Watch it. And he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Oh, I'm glad when the storms arise. Listen, I can go to God and he hears me. Psalm 120 verse 6 and verse 1, in my distress I called unto the Lord and he heard me. Isn't it great to know that we have a God that hears us when we pray? I believe God brings storms, allows storms. Why this? Why now? To bring us closer to him in prayer. Secondly, I believe God wants us to experience his peace. When you turn on the news today, I don't do it much. There's nothing good on there. You turn on the news today and everybody in the world is crying for peace. We realize you studied the book of Romans chapter 3. The Bible says the way of peace have they not known. They're looking in all the wrong places. But the world is crying out for peace. Peace in the Middle East. Peace in South America. Peace in North America. Peace in Asia. Peace everywhere we look. Everybody wants peace. And God says, my peace is already available to you. Job 34 verse 29, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Listen, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know why God wants us to draw near to him? Because he's got an experience for us that we cannot bring about ourselves, that no preacher can bring to you. It only comes by being at the Savior's side, and that is his peace that passes all understanding. That calmness, that security, that even though the storm is raging, there's a quietness deep within my soul. There is a peace settled down within my life that I'm trusting Jesus. Hey, listen, I can have peace through my Savior this morning because he is with me. You realize, hey, you remember the phrase in the early part of the passage? Let us pass over the other side. Hey, they're about to go to the bottom, but what they didn't realize until it was almost too late is that Jesus was still right there with them. Man, there should have been a trust because the Savior's in the boat with him. Jesus had already said, we're going to the other side. If the boat had ended up on the bottom, I believe he'd have cranked it up, made a submarine out of it because they're going to the other side. But Jesus was still in the boat with them.
They were worried to death, but they forgot that the one who made the trees that the boat was made out of was in the boat with him. The God who spoke the waters in existence was in the boat with him. Aren't you glad that Jesus is in your boat this morning? Aren't you glad that Jesus rides with you through the storms? Aren't you glad that when the storm is at its worst and the waves are at their highest, that there is still a Savior who said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. That Jesus said, I'll never leave thee. I'll always be there with you. Child of mine, you can have peace this morning because I'm in the boat with you. I'm glad Jesus is in the boat. Hey, it's nice to have friends. It's great to be able to pick up your cell phone and say, hey man, I've got some hard times in your life. Will you pray for me? And that's great. It's good to be able to call parents and say, hey, I'm having a hard time at school. Would you pray for me? Can you help me this morning? And that's great. And I'm glad that, I'm not sure I'm this glad, but this is a good thing, I guess, to get on Facebook and say, hey, would somebody pray for me? And try to get as many prayers that you can shot up through a like button. I don't know how that works, if God pays attention to that. I guess He does. But isn't it great to have people around you that say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. You're going to make it through this. Isn't that wonderful to have? But can I tell you this morning, when every friend walks out the back door, when your Facebook won't connect to the internet, hey, when your cell phone don't have reception, when mom and daddy's off somewhere and don't answer the phone, when the professor already has somebody in their office talking to them and you're left alone in the hallway, isn't it great to know that Jesus is still in the boat with you? He's not left you and He's not going to. Have peace because He's with me. We can have peace because He has power over the storm. Look what the Bible says. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He's in the boat. He arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Boy, I like that. Jesus get up. He woke up. Now the storm didn't surprise him. Y'all understand that, right? He's like, oh man, there's a storm. I didn't know this was coming. He's waiting on the disciples to come to him. You realize Jesus knew the whole time what was going on. They come and wake him up. Jesus stands up. And the Bible says that he rebuked the sea. You know what the word rebuke means? To speak sharply to. Now some of you parents understand what this word means. The kids are running around. You see across the room, they're getting into something that is fixing to cost you money. Or fixing to make a mess. And across the room and say, Junior! That you better not. And if you've done things right up to this point, most of the time, Junior is going to back away from what they were fixing to do. Right? That's what the word rebuke means. To speak sharply to. You know what Jesus did? He got up in that boat and He said, that's enough! That's far enough. Peace be still, no more. And instantly, the waves laid down flat like glass. The wind could no longer be heard because Jesus had the power over the storm. You try that sometime. It's raining out here. We dismissed chapel. It's pouring down. You got to get back to your dorm. You don't feel like catching pneumonia today. So you stand out in the clouds and say, that's enough! Stop raining! The rest of us will come back in here and have a special time of prayer just for you. You know why? Because we don't have power of the storm. I don't have to have power of the storm. Because in my boat is the God who has the power over every storm. And when God decides that I've learned what I needed to learn in the storm, He can say, that's enough. And it's all over. Man, I've seen this in my mind, Pastor Surrett. I've seen this in my mind. And I see this wave come. It's about to crash into the boat. And Jesus says, peace be still. And it just whoop,
falls. I got an imagination that you wouldn't believe. It's just, I just see those disciples, and Jesus speaks in the storm. Listen, it doesn't matter what storm you're facing this morning. God's not surprised by it. God's not afraid of it. He still has the power over the storm. Hey, God's not walking around popping Prozac pills. He's not nervous. He's not biting his fingernails down to the quick. Your storm's not taking him by surprise. God's not confused about what's going on in your life. He knows every aspect of the storm. He knows every aspect of your life. He knows what's going on, and he still has power over your storm this morning. He's with me. He has power of the storm, but he knows my fear. Watch what the Bible says. Peace be still. There's a great calm, verse 40. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? When the storm ceased, he looks at his disciples. He said, fellas, haven't you learned anything yet? Haven't you picked up on the fact that I'm God? Why are you so afraid? Those of us who have children understand this. You've been waking them in the middle of the night when I'm having a nightmare. I've got a daughter that just recently, she's had a couple nightmares in the last couple weeks. And doesn't normally do that, but just the last couple weeks. You go in there and you kneel down beside the bed. And y'all got to understand, a lot of y'all don't know me. I'm not, compassion's not my spiritual gift. You know what I mean? And it's not. You scrape your knee, you shouldn't have dumped your bike over. I mean, get up, that's just me, all right? Most of the dads in the room can understand that and can, that's it. I love my kids. I do. Don't get me wrong. I really do. And it's just like, you know what? Does that hurt? Well, quit doing that. You know, that's my type of mentality. It really is. I mean, mama's a little bit different. I'm the type of guy throws kids up in the air and see how far down they can get before I catch them, you know, just to see the fear on their face. You say, that's terrible. You wait. My wife just shakes her head and walks out of the room. But you know when there is when your child truly has a fear. In the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, you wake up by their crying and you go in and they're sobbing because whatever they saw or heard in their mind in that nightmare has really scared them. And there's no macho tough man at that moment. That's when you kneel down beside the bed and say, baby, what's the matter? And I had a nightmare. What's the matter? And you sit down and you calm that child. Hey, it's okay. You know me, us guys are like, hey, don't worry about it, baby. I got this. Nobody's coming into this house because I'm here, right? The doors are locked, the alarm's set. My 12-gauge shotgun's laying beside my bed. Ain't nobody coming in this house. Nobody's going to bother you. I mean, you're picking up what I'm laying down right now. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, nobody's going to bother you, baby. If they come in, they mess with you, they got to mess with me first, you know? And we're saying, hey, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. And now this is not the time to try to reason with them and explain to them why logically their nightmare is not going to come to pass and it really doesn't happen that way. No, it's just time for them to realize it doesn't matter what they saw. Dad's here. It's going to be okay. I've got it under control. Nobody's going to hurt you. Nobody's going to bother you. Baby, we'll try to go back to sleep. Pull the covers back up around your neck and just calm down. It's going to be all right. I'm just in the next room. Nothing's going to bother you. That doesn't get through me first. How many of you, hey, listen, how many are with me this morning? Hey, when there's things that bother us and there's things that confuse us and there's things that make us afraid and there's things that we look around and we don't know which way's up, we don't know which way's down. We can't tell the left from the right. We're confused. We don't know what God's going on. We don't know if the devil's attacking us or God's teaching us. We don't know what's going on. Isn't it great to know that God knows every fear in my mind? He knows every confusion in
my mind. He knows every pain in my life. And sometimes He just sits down beside of us and He said, child of mine, I just want you to know it's going to be okay. I know what you're going through. I understand. Just trust me. I know you don't understand it, but just trust me. Just rely on me. Just depend on me. Just put your faith in me. It's going to be all right. Nothing's going to get to you that I don't allow. Nothing's going to harm you that doesn't come through me first. I've got everything under complete control. Why don't you just rest a little while? Why don't you just have peace a little while? Why don't you just lean on my shoulder for a little while? Because everything is going to be just okay. I'm glad He knows my fears this morning. Lastly, very quickly, don't have time to preach it this morning, but thirdly, first of all, He wants us to pray. He wants us to have peace. Thirdly and lastly this morning, He wants us to prepare. Watch what happens. The Bible says this. There's a great calm. Verse 41, they fear exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They're amazed. They're blown away by what just happened. Don't you pay attention to what happens in Mark chapter number 5. The storm calms. And they get to the other side. They dock the boat. And about the time they set their foot on dry ground, here comes a maniac screaming out of the tombs without any clothes on. I don't know about you, but that's enough to make you reconsider where you're at in life. Here comes this, and we know by the story, and again, don't have preaching tonight, but this morning, but just follow. This man, we know by studying passage of Scripture, he is demon-possessed, possibly by hundreds of demons, thereby getting his name Legion. Nobody had been able to incarcerate him. No one had been able to contain him. No one, Satan had power over his body in every area. This man howls at the moon at night. He's cutting himself wide open. He is completely controlled by Satan. And Jesus ducks the boat and he comes screaming out of the tombs toward Jesus and the disciples. Now, if I know the human nature a little bit, the disciples are going, I don't know where that storm took us to, but I don't think we're in the right place, y'all. Let's get back in that boat, go back to the other side. You don't understand, this man's completely demon-possessed. He's not just crazy. He's violent. He's filthy. He's bleeding all over the place, and he's screaming right in the direction of Jesus and the disciples. Tell me in Mark chapter number 5 where you read about the disciples' fear in that situation. You don't find it. It's not there. What we do see is that Jesus, who had the power of the storm, has the power over the spirits. He says, hey, you come on out of that man. I love this. And every demonic being in that power had to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And they start begging. The demons of hell that indwell this man's body are begging Jesus, don't send us away. They know where they're headed for, by the way. Don't send us away. Send us into the swine. He says, okay, that'll be fine. Go on into the swine. And the demons, they run off the cliff, drown themselves. And the people come running from the town, watch it. And they find the man clothed, sitting in his right mind, talking to Jesus and his disciples. Now here's one we should get tonight. This morning, the disciples just came through the storm and saw the power of God. And I believe that Jesus was setting them up for what they were about to see in Mark chapter number 5. You see, I believe God allows storms in our lives to prepare us for what is to come. Well, this morning, and we're closing. Have you ever been in a storm when you weren't afraid? Now, I'm not talking about this isn't a time to get arrogant, spiritually speaking, okay? But you've been in a storm, maybe the bill wasn't paid, and you saw that, and the first thought was not, oh no, what am I going to do? I'm going to get kicked out of school. I'm not going to be able to do this. But the first thought that went through your mind was like, you know what, God, I'm not sure where you're going with this. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I know you got it under control. Have you been there before? Were you experienced that calm and you experienced that peace in the middle of the storm and you knew God had everything in control? Have you been there? You know why you were able to be there?
because you've been through storms in the past. And you saw God meet the need. You saw God heal the sick. You saw God get glory. And because of the past, because of the storms that you had endured in the past, and because of the lessons that you had learned from Jesus in the past, and now in the storm, now when you're faced with this situation, you're able to say, you know, I don't know how, but I know God has got this under control. Because He's already proven Himself. You know what, serve the Lord today? You know why we can trust Jesus today? Because He's never proven Himself anything but trustworthy. He's never proven Himself that He couldn't be depended upon. There's never been a time that I was able to lean on Jesus that He let me down, and He never will. He won't do it for me. He won't do it for you. And tomorrow, I don't know what storm you're facing. I don't know what storm you'll face tomorrow. I don't know what storm you're facing today. But I know that God allows those things many times to get us ready for what's ahead. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where God has you, what process. It's been said that you're either in the storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're headed into a storm. You're somewhere in that progression in your Christian life. Somewhere along the way. If you're not in a storm today, you will be. Hang on. I'm glad when we go through the storm, He's right there with me every step of the way. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know where you are. I don't know what God's doing in your heart this morning. But I do know He loves you. I do know He's not forgotten and He's not forsaken you. He's right there beside you. You may not see it. You may not have recognized Him. You may still be trying to bail water in your own strength right now. But God's just waiting for you to draw closer to Him. I don't know where you are, what God's doing in your heart this morning. But I want to encourage you, whatever it is, would you just respond to Him? Would you stand, please? Everyone standing. Father, I pray that You'd bless Your Word. Thank You. Thank You for Your provisions. Thank You for how You care for us. Thank You for how You meet our needs. Thank You for how You know what's best for our lives. God, I pray that whatever You're doing in hearts this morning, that we would be sensitive and submitted to whatever it is, and we'll do business with You for whatever You're trying to do in our lives, God. I love You this morning, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the instruments are playing.